Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting The Instance. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/instance and start living a better life today. Welcome back to a little show called The Instance, episode, I didn't write it down, 653 is the episode that we are on right now. My name is Scott Johnson, and welcome to The Instance, where the big topics in gaming go to rest. With Garen Weinzierpel. It's Garen Weinzierpel, everybody. Garen. Hello, Garen.
Yes. Go ahead and Google it and don't find me. I'm Garen Weinschnitzel, and we're going to be hanging out talking about Vigigorns.
Vigigorns. Everyone loves
Scoot
a good Vigigorn.
Yeah. And the missing juice. Yeah. Carnival.
There it is. You nailed it.
Juice Carnival is my favorite mumble rapper, by the way.
Oh, he's so good. That's too bad, though. What happened? Anyway.
Yeah, gone Juice. That's terrible. I actually missed
that
Juice
is kind of terrible because I forgot about Juice World for a hot second.
Now,
dude, I feel bad.
Like, legitimately a legend.
That guy was cool, man. Too early. Went out way, way too early. Well, anyway, we're not here too early. We're here right when we mean to, like a wizard in Lord of the Rings. And we're happy to be here. Jocelyn's out this week. She had some stuff, but she'll be back next week. And we are here keeping it real, making it happen.
Yeah. As Shoujo says in the chat room, let's roll, buttholes.
Let's roll, butthole. I like it. Let's get into it. Garrett has been a little obsessed, I would say, lately with a game that let's call it a spiritual successor, like some people like to throw that around. Spiritual successor to a little series known as Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead 1 and Left 4 Dead 2.
Left 1 dead, Left 2 dead, Left 2 dead, Left 4 dead.
Exactly. And we never got a real sequel. Well, as we know, Valve can't count.
We never got a real third one. We got a sequel. We got Left 4 Dead 2.
Well, that's true. We got the one, but they never can count to three over there. We got Portal 2, Half-Life 2. They don't know how to do it.
They will take Half-Life 2 and then do Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, and they will still not count to three.
They can't do three. Three scares
not
them.
Not happening.
They're like afraid
of it. Yo,
yeah.
New
nothing.
One. Yeah.
One time I actually just did this for fun to see if I could find it, but I was going to try to find if there was anything on Steam that was for sale or cost only $3 just to see if they're really, truly afraid of threes over at Steam. Unfortunately, I found a bunch of $3 things, and it's so.
I actually did that.
Yeah. Well, because it's funny show content, not because it's actually weird. But you know, it'd have been funny if I couldn't find a category of $3 anything on there. There are plenty of games that are threes. You know, Galactic Civilization 3, Halo 3, a bunch of threes are on that.
We're gonna be here a long time if we're counting all the three.
Yeah, we can't do that. If we count all the three games, we're never leaving. So instead, we're gonna jump to this topic that deals directly with cooperative video game experiences and why I think, and I think Garrett may agree with me, but I think we're experiencing a little bit of a unannounced renaissance of this kind of game. And we'll get to what we mean by that, because you could start to say, well, wait a minute, Scott, isn't an MMO a great big cooperative experience? And I would say, sure, there are elements in there. And others would say it can be. Others would say, like, if you're going to play, I don't know, a Battlefield game and it's the Germans versus the Russians, aren't the Russians all having a cooperative experience against the Germans? Sort of. It can be, once again. But we're talking maybe a smaller scale than that. And I think that's what sets this apart and why it feels like we're having a moment here, or why it's having a moment as a genre. So I don't know if there's anything cooler than taking down some sort of big bad with your friends. And we'll get into what games we like the most that are doing that these days. But even if you're in a 25-man raid and you're taking down some huge boss, or a little 4-man Left 4 Dead run, or more appropriately these days, Back 4 Blood, we'll get to that, don't worry. Or
get your cards ready, everybody. Cards aren't just for Hearthstone.
Nope. Cards, that's the other thing we could talk about one day. Cards as a mechanic for everything now, it feels like. everything's got some kind of card tie-in. And I think that's weird. But that's not the topic today.
Yeah, don't send me off on this, man, because I'm already linking things. I'm already like, you know, there's a lot of systems that are basically card systems. They just don't use cards as a graphic.
Right.
But in the end of the day, it's really just modifier systems. All right, let's table that. Man, let's get back to co-op, which I've been enjoying. I've been enjoying a lot of co-op. I'm playing a ton of Back 4 Blood.
Yeah.
I'm mad as hell that Halo Infinite is launching without co-op.
Yeah, it's not. That's a weird thing, too, because since Halo 1, Halo Combat Evolved, there has been co-op. That was like a hallmark of the launch of that game. And the fact that this doesn't have co-op at launch is very disappointing to a lot of players who probably their first exposure to even the concept of we're on this TV playing together in this campaign, fulfilling the needs of this story and killing everything in sight. That probably is Halo for a whole generation of people.
It certainly is the one when you utter the words co-op. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Like everyone if you are familiar with me and you know me through podcasting, other than the small handful of people I know in my personal life that also listen to this program, you probably know me as a Blizzard guy.
Yeah.
Like I cut my teeth on Blizzard products. It's what I'm known for. It's my successful podcasts.
Right.
But I had a video game life long before World of Warcraft and StarCraft and Hearthstone and Halo is some of my specifically co-op Halo is some of my fondest gaming memories.
Who would you play with back then? Like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's play this game. Make us all feel old and tell me how old you were in 2001 or whatever it was. 2000.
When did it come? When did Combat Evolved come out?
Halo 1, right? Combat Evolved.
November 15, 2001.
Okay, so.
I'm pretty sure I played it a little bit later than initial release, but because in November of 2001, I would have just started high school.
Oh my lord.
Yeah, I would have been a freshman, because I got out of eighth grade early, like summer 2001, and then I started high school August 2001. I want to say it was 2002 or 2003, because I'm pretty sure I could drive, but Halo 2 wasn't out yet.
Oh, that's so funny. The driving and when you could drive is often a marker, isn't it? For when you
it really is those. In America, right? Because like, unless you live in some very key cities, like public transportation kind of stinks.
Yeah.
And I remember my parents were like, the bus is scary. We don't want you going on the bus.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends on where you're at. But I noticed that this is not a thing with my European friends.
Yeah.
They're not like, it's not a cultural touchstone for us the way it is for you Yanks. I lived out in the middle of nowhere at that point. Now, until like my early teens, I was in the suburbs. But once I hit high school age, I was living out kind of in a rural area in Florida. So I didn't really have quote unquote neighbors like most normal Americans. So the closest neighbor that went to my school that I was friends with, he was 3 miles down the straight country road I lived on.
Yeah.
So I remember like making friends with him, getting to know him. And he had an Xbox, and so one weekend, we were hanging out. We were talking at school at lunch. He goes, "Hey, you want to come over? We can hang out and like play through Halo. And you know, if it gets late, just crash at my place."
Yeah,
my parents know each other. They're cool. And so that's what I did. I went over and we stayed up till literally the sun came up playing through Halo 1. I think on heroic difficulty, we didn't go like he didn't dump me in straight into legendary difficulty. But like that, I still remember that. Like it was so much Mountain Dew and so many Doritos. It was the most absolutely quintessentially jokey, nerdy video game experience you could come up with. But I was absolutely floored. I was like, damn, this game's really good. And I was playing PC shooters up till that point. It's not like I didn't know a better world of mouse and keyboard. I had played Counter-Strike on a dial-up modem years before that.
Of course, sure. Yeah, same deal for me. It was like, you know, I cut my teeth on Doom and Quake and all that. And there was something, well, in my opinion, Halo is the first shooter on consoles that figured out the control. It's just straight up, I think they're owed a gigantic, Bungie and Microsoft are owed a huge, I don't know, point of gratitude or something for making that work. Because then, you know, everything that's come since, your yearly Call of Duties and everything else, they control really well. Now you could say, what about GoldenEye? And I would say, GoldenEye was cool. Don't get me wrong, but have you tried to control GoldenEye lately? It is weird as shit. It's not great.
Yeah, it was good for its time. GoldenEye, that was a huge thing, and actually kind of ties into Halo co-op for me, because GoldenEye was that was another cultural touchstone for me, because that was, you know, like right before high school.
Yeah.
Was like GoldenEye popping off, going crazy. What is it, sixth grade for me?
Yeah. It'd
probably been GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Like GoldenEye and Pokemon are very blurred together, and it's so hilarious that they're both Nintendo things. And it's like one was hyper violent and it was about murdering, and the other was about cartoon animals that you essentially make do chicken fights.
Sure.
Anyway, GoldenEye was huge and it was a really good time. And that was kind of my first experience, like really, really bonded with my friends over a video game, but like you were so angry at each other.
Yeah.
At the end of it, there was it literally, and because all four of you had to be in the same room, it, you know, frequently led to like beating the crap out of your friend because he was looking at your screen.
Yeah.
Or you just start smacking each other, trying to throw each other off. So, you know, when I had this first experience, like going over to my buddies and playing Halo, it was so weird because it was just friendly. It was like if you went to go see like a movie with your friend, or you're watching like your favorite show with, like I remember going over watching South Park with my friends growing up. I remember going out to see, you know, the prequels when they were coming out, and it was like just a fun, friendly activity.
Yeah.
And I never really had that in a video game.
Yeah.
Like with some few exceptions, if we want to get real crazy, I could probably trace it all the way back to beat 'em ups, like the Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah. Street Fighter 2 for me was a thing that we'd stay up until ever to play. But again, those are competitive, mostly competitive type things.
Well, the beat 'em ups weren't, right?
Well, like, that's
you play
true.
Double Dragon, you play that's Ninja true. Turtles, you play the Simpsons arcade game. Like that was
yeah, good point.
Friendly. You just get, the only time you get annoyed there is if you died and your friend was still playing. You're like, oh, I'm out of quarters. That sucks.
Yeah. Or he took all the power ups or all the health balls, and you were like, gosh dang it, you bastard. Like some of that would happen.
Yeah, for me as a millennial, like GoldenEye was the first big game that it was like, all right, we're gamers now. This is just what we do. This is our hobby. This is, we identify with this. And then so to go from that, like post GoldenEye into Halo and be like, oh, I can play a game with my friend and I still like my friend at the end of the night. Like,
yeah.
It was unique.
Yeah.
It was a unique experience.
And yeah, so the fact that they're not going to include that as part of this launch is, to me, borderline crazy. Now, it's not even possible. Well, is it just couch co-op they're not including, or any online co-op? Is it just not there?
Co-op will not be in the game at launch.
That's nuts to me.
They said it's coming, and they said it's like slated for an early update, but like quotes on early update. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it does seem bonkers to me because like as much as like I think of kind of my formative years is kind of, I can think about things like what car was I driving? What WoW expansion was I playing? I also think about Halo launches because after my experience with Halo 1, every single Halo game, playing through the campaign on launch night with friends on co-op, it just became a tradition.
Yeah.
Halo 2, I was still in high school. I remember midnight that night loading into my buddy's Xbox. I did not have a first Xbox. I went over to his house, playing it till the sun came up. We beat it that night. We were both very angry about the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Halo 3, I was in college.
Yeah.
We had four-player co-op. I had three of my buddies come over. Aww. We did System Link on every television in the house. We each had like our own like kind of room, and everyone brought their own snacks. I think we were of legal drinking age at this point, so I think this is the first time there was alcohol involved with Halo, and we stayed up again until like 7 a.m. beating it. I think we beat it on Legendary the first time through with four-player co-op.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, like, for landing up your Xboxes or consoles, period, whatever it is still, I don't know if there's anything quite like it. Like, we don't do it anymore. But, man, it was a badass time.
The internet, our connectivity has just gotten so good, right? Like, it used to suck.
Yeah, it used to be really bad.
Trying to play games online used to really stink. Yeah. It's gotten so damn convenient. Also, Scott, I don't know if you know this, we're older now.
Yeah.
We're not in college. We're
well aware.
Jobs,
I mean, here's
families.
The embarrassing thing. Like when you said, oh, I was just getting into high school when Halo 1 came out. I had a near 1 year old when Halo came out. So I was sitting on the couch with Nicholas on my lap, a year old, can't talk or walk, diaper full, sucking his thumb, playing
Halo.
You know
who we need today? We need a Zoomer.
I
We need a Zoomer in here to be like, yeah, I was born and you know, Halo's just this thing. It's always been around. I remember going back and revisiting this classic title.
Yeah, he doesn't know a world without Halo. That is straight up the truth. Yeah,
it's like how I was born into a world where all three Star Wars movies was already out.
Yeah,
like, it was just
exactly.
a thing. It was an institution.
And he's, you know, 21 now. So that just gives you an idea where we were. And he still loves Halo, so... So there's that. He's really looking forward to...
It's all relative.
Yeah, you know, it is. Age, who cares?
Age is what it is. Yeah. So
everybody is yes. too... Everybody is... days are passing at the same rate for us all. That's what's going on. But anyway, this is, you bring up a good point about online connectivity today, and I wanted to mention this real quick. There's probably never been a better time for cooperative play because the choices are numerous. I'm just going to name a few game names here, and maybe one or two that really jump out at me as kind of my favorites. We talked about Halo, of course, Left 4 Dead. We'll get to... This is all going to culminate into, I want to get a real take from you on how you feel 2 weeks into that Back 4 Blood. But anyway, Left 4 Dead, one big one for me is Deep Rock Galactic. I don't know how many people have played this game, but it is my favorite cooperative shooter. Like, straight up, my favorite. I realize this is a controversial subject, given there are so many choices to play out there, a lot of different kind of games. Nothing got me quite as hooked into playing it, and also it represents a modern co-op experience that I can get in and get out of in a way that doesn't kill my schedule. It's a blast with friends. It's fun alone, but way better with friends. One of the hallmarks of a good game like this is, can I play it solo and have a good time? And if the answer is yes, great, bonus. Is it even better with people? Yes. That's you know, obviously a key to one of these working. What I don't like is one of these where they're only good if other people are around, because I do like to mess around in these games solo sometimes. Deep Rock Galactic scratches both itches for me. It is really good solo. It is extremely good with friends. And I cannot say enough about it. And that team's amazing. They were great in early access. They were awesome post-release. They still are. They're doing events now. Things only been out a year now, but early access for a couple of years, I guess. But it's absolutely rad. And if you haven't played it, Rock and Stone. If you played it, then you know what I mean when I say Rock and Stone. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, there's one
I
of those.
I haven't played it.
You have or haven't?
I have not played Deep Rock Galactic.
You
no.
should play it. Your buddy Kyle has this game, you know.
Does he?
I okay. played
well,
with
he
Kyle.
He also has Back 4 Blood.
Well, that's true.
Playing that.
Yeah, that's true. He and I
got to play it like three times, and he's like, I gotta be a responsible adult.
Yeah. Well, he's got that kid now, you know, the whole thing we were talking about before. Anyway, that game's really great. Valheim, I don't know how last time you poked your head in there, but I know you were having a great time in there.
We beat it. We killed all the bosses. I mean, as much as you can beat a game like Valheim. Yeah, Kyle and I got into that big time. We liked it so much, we scheduled a play date. We had a weekly... play date every Tuesday.
Wow.
Kyle would take a day off Hero streaming and we would stream that. We called it Broheim.
That's pretty good. Did you ever do you ever check back in after these updates, because it's still early access, they're still doing stuff to it?
I went in for like 2 hours to kind of just see what was put in with Hearth and Home.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's not really enough to make me... Kyle and I went in with a really specific desire to clear all the bosses.
Yeah.
And they didn't add any new bosses with Hearth at Home.
Right.
So while if you're a builder, it's crazy. It's a great update. There's so many new things you can make. I immediately went in and made some windows for the house that Kyle and I built, because you can make crystal cubes.
Oh, cool.
From the crystals that you can get off of the, I think it's the, what are they called? Like, they're ice elementals or something. They're up in the mountains. They're terrifying. I hate them.
Sure.
but yeah, Valheim was a really good experience. And you know, last week, I think I was being a little hyperbolic, which I know is rare for me, Scott. I never exaggerate.
No.
I never get passionate and say things just to stir you up a little bit, but I might have been a little hyperbolic by saying Back 4 Blood was my game of the year. I think it definitely goes to Valheim. I will be very surprised if anything else comes out this year that impresses me the way Valheim did.
Oh, interesting. So your games that you're having the most fun with, or even calling your best games of the year, these are all funny enough cooperative.
I really like co-op games. I think they're important for gaming in general, and especially gaming as a social activity.
Yeah.
I like especially, and it's, it, I've gotten more precious about them as I've gotten older. So like, as I've gotten to a point in my life where I don't have as much time to play games with my friends, I want the time that I do spend with my friends to be like fun.
Yeah.
And friendly. That doesn't mean I still don't like going in with Kyle into a game of Heroes of the Storm, just like owning some fools. That, you know, that feels great. It's wonderful.
Always
fun.
I need
trash talk in my life.
But, no, that stuff's great. But I think you make a really good point. And maybe now more than ever, I hate how everything sort of rotates around what the pandemic has done to change things. But, you know, socially, this is our jam. This is our, I don't know, this is our tea party. This is our.
Well, yeah. And people like us, like the life didn't change that much for us during the pandemic, which I'm thankful for. Like, sure. A lot of our closest friendships have always been online since the dawn of widely accessible modems.
Yeah.
So like we're used to it. And so I don't know. Co-op's always been, it's always been a big part of my life. It's always been a big part of my friendships.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I wouldn't say an MMO is strictly a co-op game, but the co-op aspect to MMOs is definitely a huge part of the draw for me.
Yeah. For me, it's weird. I've changed a bit in that regard. I like to day-to-day play MMO by myself. I'm very much a solo MMO player when it comes to like do your stuff for your dailies and get your quests done and all that stuff. Whereas when I first started playing MMOs back in Anarchy Online days, and then what was the other one I played? I don't remember the name of half of these. I played almost every.
Did you play Ultima?
I played Ultima a little bit. Yep, not too long, but a little EverQuest here and there. But the one I really sunk my teeth in, I think, was Dark Age of Camelot. That thing.
Oh, I remember you talking about that way back in the early days of this program.
Yeah, it sucked me in pretty hard, and as a result, I just got really hooked on sort of the fantasy setting, and I thought they were doing a lot of new things, and they were. That realm versus realm stuff was really ahead of its time and really put players, you know, against each other in a lot of interesting ways. But then, you know, of course, WoW comes in. But the thing that's famous about those old MMOs I mentioned is none of them were solo friendly at all. The whole point was you better have people with you or you're effed. Like, there's just nothing in these games.
Yeah.
They didn't have great quest systems at all. It was a lot of waiting for spawns and mowing down a million of these stupid goblins until you get whatever you're going to get. It just wasn't this sort of structured, crafted thing yet. Warcraft comes along and just flips that on its head and made it so that anybody, no matter what class you chose, even back then in those early days, those vanilla days that everybody acts like it was the best days, you could do it. You could go solo and play the thing. So what ended up happening is I got a real taste for being in that world on my own, and then, but still loved raiding some of the PvP I did, like other stuff. Those were great experiences as well, and I love that stuff. But they're so large scale that it's always about coordinating back then 40 people, in later days 20 to 10 or whatever. But getting that coordination done is a metagame in itself. And it's a little much. So what I like about these and this renaissance we're having with like 4-player co-op experiences, because that's what a lot of these are that I'm mentioning. They're all small groups in a very small situation. They're doing runs with each other. You know, a good game to mention here is Warhammer Vermintide 2 or 1. 1's great too, but 2 is amazing.
I mean, it's basically fantasy Left 4 Dead.
That's exactly what it is. And it's the perfect thing for you to say, well, I can wrangle 3 of my friends. That's not a problem.
I guess a bot is coming with us.
Yeah, or a bot will go with us and you can just deal with it.
Idiot number 4 is coming with us.
Exactly. another game I wish was more solo friendly, but is amazing in multiplayer co-op is Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves has amazing co-op. It's really, really good. Maybe one of the best things out there. As a game you just want to hop in and screw around for a while, it's kind of hideous. It's not great. It's just boring. And that's a bummer. So I wished more games were as fun by themselves. And actually, my only complaint about Back 4 Blood, really, is that I don't like it alone at all. It's just kind of bad alone.
It's not the best. I have gone in and played alone a few times just to mess with certain things, which is kind of another reason I think I like the added systems, like especially like the cards.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get cards, you build a deck, you go in. So I've gone in solo a few times to like, oh, let me see how these cards work. See if I like this build. Like essentially test a build.
Yeah.
Which is in that game, essentially testing a deck.
So even when those cards are randomly provided for you per match or per run or per level, I guess. How do you know, like, how are you getting builds out of something that you can't count on being there? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, because you can select which 15 cards it's pulling from.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Once you have 15 cards or more, you can make as far as I know, as many decks as you want of 15 cards. Oh, and so you like, okay. I've cleared out a few of the, what are they? They're like tracks. I have not committed to memory all the technical terms of this game, but like you get those tracks that you spend the in-game currency on, that you get by playing the game. This is something you like pay money for and can just
unlock. Right. Yeah. It's a premium
and
game.
Yeah. So now I have like a bunch of cards and they definitely fall into different categories. It's like, oh, like this is like a stamina, agility, movement type cards. This is all like weapon damage and bullet penetration cards. And this is all like melee damage cards. So I've got like a gun deck and I've got like a mobility deck and I've got Kyle likes the melee damage a lot.
Yeah.
So he's got like a melee deck that he's been kind
that of, is so he, Kyle, by the way. Everything
he's
just
been
said.
So slowly purging out all of the non melee cards, and so his deck is slowly becoming just nothing but melee buffs.
That's the most Kyle ass Ferguson thing I've ever heard. Of course, he's focusing on melee. There's something about that that just rings true. That's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah, he's just he's playing, and the biggest complaint about the game is the melee voiceovers. I feel like everyone has the same line. So he's playing the dude with the glasses, and he just keeps saying, "See, Dad, I could have made the team." So Kyle and I now just pull ourselves. We're in Discord the whole time, going, "I could have made the team. I could have made the team."
The game does seem to know that some of that fun is going to come from this goofiness, and that's good.
Yeah,
this is
Turtle. Oh boy, they need to vary those voice lines. They really do.
Oh yeah, but I mean, you know, they were Turtle Rock Studios, not known for. They've always done this. Like the original characters in Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 were all just like, "Damn it, Bill, reloading." Like,
Francis.
It's Francis. Damn it, like all that stuff is very common in those games, and I'm happy to see Turtle Rock kind of go back to the well, but then stir the well a little. You know. Like, this is them going, we made that original game, and now we're going to make a game a lot like it, but guess what? We're going to throw in these weird twists, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think this it feels like a crowd pleaser, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I'm one of those people, I like Force Awakens. I get people who are like, it's just a new hope with a new coat of paint. It's like, wait, well, I kind of needed that after the prequels, all right? Like, I was a little done with George Lucas trying to be new and different, because, you know, while I enjoy some aspects of those, like OG Star Wars more.
Sure.
So I'm fine with this. I like it. I think it's them kind of like, this is what we're known for. We tried something with Evolve. It didn't take. Let's kind of go back to our roots and see if we can't update it. And I think they have. I like the way it's been updated. But, it's been this thing like, clearly I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Because
obviously.
I got enough games to play for shows that I cover on the regular that literally help keep a roof over my head.
Yeah.
So the fact that Kyle and I have found usually at least for the last 2 weeks, like two nights a week, like, get together. Let's do 2 hours, 3 hours.
That's
maybe
pretty good. Yeah. I would love that.
You know, we're both fine to like, and I can tell when I'm trying to like twist Kyle's arm to play a game.
Yeah.
I can 100% tell. And I have had no issue getting him into a game of Back 4 Blood.
That's great. I'm glad that's happening. And it's basically proving out why these games are important for the social and friendship aspect of things. Did you ever get into, I guess I'm surprised to hear all the things you said in a positive way about this kind of thing, that Destiny 2 isn't a thing that you're super into. Because it just feels
like... Oh, I played the crap out of it when it first launched.
Did you? Okay. Because right now,
it feels like in 2 days.
Yeah. It feels like it's made for you. Like, I don't know why it feels that way. It just feels that way to me.
Yeah, it's honestly, it came down to because this is another important aspect of a co-op experience is playing with your friends. And my friends were not playing Destiny. My only friend to this day that I think loves Destiny as much as I do is Patrick Beja. And that mofo is on the other side of the planet.
Right. He technically is still a co-host on this show. I can't get him on here. He's so
he
busy.
Didn't have a kid when we were both originally playing Destiny at the same time, and we still couldn't coordinate a time to get together to play.
Yeah.
So you add US to Europe time differences and add a couple kids into the mix. And we're just never going to play Destiny together.
Yeah, it's hard. But every once in a while I get a little hankering for it. Also, it runs extremely nicely on my Series X. They did a updated everything for it, and it's
I've been
beautiful.
Trying to find one.
Oh, you'd love it, dude. Game Pass rocks. Game Pass.
I got a PS5.
I know.
I've not been able to secure an Xbox.
I'm having a hard time getting the PS5, so we're kind of in opposite. We're in the same place, but opposite sides. But man, Game Pass is so rad. And of course, Back for Blood on there, which is nice, the day one launch. But they just announced today. Sorry, this has nothing to do with our topic, but GTA San Andreas Remastered is a Xbox day one Game Pass thing coming in November.
Oh, wonderful. Because I remember seeing it was $60 going, I am never spending that on those games.
No, not
again.
A chance. Like, not a chance.
No, I have played them enough. I guess that was a different game. I had a PSP version of one of those.
Oh, they were great. The one that was on the PSP, that was the Chinatown Wars one. That was such a good game.
That was Game Boy, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think PSP straight up had a GTA 3 port.
Oh, maybe it did. I just remember thinking Chinatown Wars, whatever it was called. Oh, that was such a good game. It was more like the old school, like top down stuff.
Oh, it was Liberty City Stories, but it was basically the full GTA 3 map that was playable on a PSP.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, that price is too high. That collection was $30 or something, maybe, but Game Pass day one, people can play it. It looks pretty good because San Andreas is an ugly game, very ugly in its original form.
Oh, they all are. They have not aged well, but I was also worried they were going to unstylize it. And I liked the stylization of the GTA 3 trilogy.
Yeah, I do too.
Which is a weird freaking thing to say.
It is a weird thing to say, but it looks
but
okay.
They didn't. Yeah. They still have that weird like blobby arms and faces, which I think is really charming. And like that is GTA 3 to me. That's that era. Yeah.
What's
so
weird
I'm glad
is
that they just
having,
look nicer.
Having just ripped through most, I still have a half season left to finish it, but I've ripped through most of The Wire, and The Wire's got me in the mood for GTA San Andreas because there's a lot of similarities. Like,
oh yeah.
I'm way into
that. We watched that for the first time like 4 years ago.
It's so good.
It's a good show.
It's really good.
I didn't love the last season.
Oh, I didn't see it. So I'm just starting season 5.
Have you not seen it before?
No, this is the first time. I saw season 1 back in the day.
Okay, sorry.
And then
I thought you were going to be like, how'd you wait so long? Never mind. I didn't realize you'd never seen
it. No, I'm just getting around to
it. Holy crap.
I loved 4. Yeah. Season 4 just ended for me, and I freaking loved it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what to expect from 5. But I've liked it all. I've liked everything, but I really liked 4 for some reason. 4 really got me. The school season. I guess the fifth one is like the press and the newspaper season, where that it's not the main focus, but every season has like a weird shift in what part of Baltimore gets the most camera time.
It's focusing on. Yeah, I haven't committed them all to memory. But,
it's a great show, though, man.
Oh, rest in peace, Michael Kenneth Williams. He was my favorite character.
He was so good. Oh, he's so good. Freaking Omar Little, baby. All right. Anyway, a couple other names to mention here. Divinity Original Sin 2 and the upcoming Baldur's Gate 3, same developer. That's an amazing game and one of the best co-op experiences I've had in 10 years. It's incredible.
Yeah. Not to take anything away from them, though. Isn't saying Divinity Original Sin 2 is a fantastic co-op experience basically just saying pen and paper role-playing is a fantastic co-op experience?
Yeah, maybe because they really replicated that so well, but...
And not to take anything, Divinity Original Sin 2, I barely scratched the surface of it because, again, haven't been able to, that seems like something you need to play with friends that I haven't been able to coordinate. I do own it. I have tried it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. It is absolutely amazing what they accomplished.
It's one
of
the greatest RPGs ever made. It's amazing. Hey, y'all. Everyone needs a little help once in a while. And boy, howdy, is that more true than ever these days. You got to ask yourself sometimes what interferes with your happiness. Or stops you from getting those goals you want. Well, BetterHelp will help you with that. They'll match you with licensed therapists that are perfect for you. And you can start communicating in under 48 hours. Connect in this safe and private online environment. It's very convenient. Never have to sit in some chair in some waiting room or any of that stuff. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you ever need to do that. And there's a broad range of expertise going on here. And many areas just don't have that locally. You just don't have access to it. They're available for clients worldwide. Anything you share is confidential. And licensed professional counselors are specialized for you. Like, you know, if it's depression or stress or anxiety, relationship issues, anger, grief, self-esteem, whatever it may be, they'll help you. And they've helped so many that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states here in the U.S., So here's what I want you to do. Please start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/instance. and you'll be joining over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. No better time than now. That's betterhelp.com/instance for 10% off your first month. But there's a lot more to it than that. There's a ton of story and dialogue and you know, cutscenes and, you know, bits of mechanic stuff you could never do on a tabletop. But, you know, the same thing could be said. Well, isn't Back 4 Blood just basically a co-op paintball with your best friend? You know, like, yeah, but it's still, it's a video game, you know.
But that's, that, to me, that's what makes Divinity stand out.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the fact that they have I think, accurately captured tabletop role-playing in the video game.
It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with Baldur's Gate, because up till now, I can't think of the developer's name, but they've been using their own rules for all of their stuff. So everything's based on, you know, D&D like ideas, but they're not D&D rules. Baldur's Gate 3, which I have not played in early access. I keep wanting it just to be done before I play it. But, that's using actual D&D 5 under the hood, I believe. Larian, that's who it is. Larian Studios. That'll be interesting to see how that translates, because they haven't been held back, not held back by that, but they haven't had to adhere to some those rules. They made their own before. And somebody in the chat probably...
Chat's saying it was a modified version of 5th edition.
Is that what it was then anyway? Okay. Well, if that's the case, they had a lot of wacky shit in there is what I'm saying, that does not exist in 5e. Like, sorcerers are doing stuff in that game that nobody's doing in D&D, but... But I take their point. Maybe the very bare underpinnings are based on that. No hit die, that kind of stuff. Mm. Somebody said in there they don't like the turn-based part of Battlegrounds or of B. Why? That's the whole point. Well,
turn-based part of what?
D&D, they said, not Battlegrounds, sorry. Baldur's Gate, they don't like the turn-based part. But that's the whole thing. D&D is all turn-based. It's the whole thing.
That's like it's trying to be D&D combat, and that's like, what D&D combat is.
It's like saying I don't like the turn-based part of XCOM. That doesn't make any sense.
Then you just don't like XCOM.
I love XCOM.
Which is fine.
I would play XCOM right now.
I love XCOM.
Can you co-op in XCOM? Is that a thing?
I don't think so. That'd be weird.
I would do XCOM 2 co-op with somebody. I would love
What would be the point?
I mean, good...
To take even, like, anguishly longer making decisions on where to move your dudes because you're talking to someone else.
Yeah.
Scott, have you ever tried to co-pilot any sort of strategy game? Like, you ever tried to play Hearthstone with a friend?
No.
And try to decide what the best move to make was?
No, but I did some of that StarCraft crap, the Commanders thing, where you co-op that. But I don't love doing that either.
That's real time, but...
Kind of hate that, though. I never liked that.
I love Commanders. StarCraft Commanders is great.
I don't like co-op in an RTS, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, dude. Thank you for bringing it up, because that's one of my favorite I played the crap out of that. I played with a bunch of my friends, because a lot of my StarCraft friends, you know, we fell out. We moved to Heroes of the Storm, but we all came back for Commanders because we wanted to play StarCraft 2, but we did not want the stress of trying to be good on ladder again.
Yeah. Well, it's an issue of, if I'd have stuck with it, if I'd found the right people to play with or something, I probably could have come around on it. But
yeah, dude, I'll get in there. Let's go do it. Cause that's like, to me, that's absolute StarCraft fantasy, like made manifest. Cause it's like, oh yeah, let's mix Terran and Zerg units and make the perfect turtle based defense.
Yeah. I did back in the Brood War days, I did the conversion unit for the Protoss that would turn, another faction that you were playing against, you could turn one of their units, hopefully one of their drones or one of their SUVs, and turn them into your team, and now you can just go build it and make their thing. And it was kind of OP. Like, you could really F everyone over, and I loved it.
It's near impossible to pull off, but I believe you can do that with the Infestor in StarCraft 2, because it can mind control. So I think you can mind control...
Can you
builder?
Isn't it a temporary thing, though? A temporary effect, I thought?
Yeah, but if you're quick enough about it, I believe you can drop a Nexus or a Command Center.
No way. All right. Well, then maybe it is possible.
I think that's true. Someone fact check me on that. It's been forever.
Tally in the chat says Dark Templar Mind Control. Yeah, that's what you did in the first one. Okay. The second one, I don't know. But I used to love doing that because they didn't know that I did it. So they didn't know that they would send a worker, just a drone, you know, whatever, off searching around for shit. And forget that they did it. And I would convert them and silently build this army And then they're like, a whole other Zerg army is suddenly attacking the Zerg army that they thought they were the only Zerg army. It's amazing. It's amazing. I loved effing with those guys. Those are such great days. Yeah. I love that stuff. Warframe, Diablo 3. Yeah, there's a bunch of games like this. My question for you is, do you think Battle Royales count, like non-solo Battle Royales where you're in a duo or more? Is that a co-op game or are these different?
I don't think it'd be too much more a co-op experience than it would be teaming up with your friends in like Call of Duty Deathmatch or something. But I certainly think of it as one. And to me, I think it comes down to like there's extended periods of downtime in something like PUBG. It's like, oh, I'm catching up with my friends. So how are you doing tonight? What's new?
That's a good point.
And then gunshots. And you're like, oh shit, where was that?
It's a good point though. Like, the in between is sometimes as important as what you're doing in the real time. And I need to remember this more because I, if I'm honest, I'm like, oh, I don't want to coordinate with somebody. It's a pain in my ass. I don't have the schedule for it. I'd rather just play this game alone for now or whatever. Like, I kind of poo-poo it these days. And I feel like maybe I should do less of that. I should probably embrace
it can be. I mean, everyone's schedule is different, but like, again, when I almost mentioned this when we were talking MMOs, it's like going to Disney together. Mm-hmm. Like World of Warcraft to me feels like going to a theme park.
Yeah.
Like, and so like when, if you get that, like when I used to like spend a lot of time hanging out with my friends in WoW or whatever other MMO, I started with Guild Wars. It was like, oh yeah, let's, you want to go hang out in Azeroth? It's the same like in Florida. It's constant. Hey, you want to hit the park today?
Yeah. Oh yeah. See, that's a good way of looking at it. This is just digital hanging out, man. That's all this is. The one I'm looking forward to the most upcoming wise is Warhammer 40K Darktide. And this got delayed. Well,
that's their Vermintide 40K, yeah?
Correct. And it was supposed to be...
I want to play the crap out of that, man. Sign me up.
Cannot wait. I play anything 40K related, even if it's bad. I will
be there with oversized Catholic Church bells on.
Sweet. And it'll be flying in space when you do it. The 40K thing attracts me on every level, always, forever. I don't play the painted tabletop stuff. I don't have time for it. But every game they release, I play, even the bad stuff. This doesn't look bad. And it was announced at an E3 for a Microsoft conference. And at the time, they had said this will end up being a Game Pass day one, PC and console. And it still will be. It just got delayed. So we were supposed to actually have this by now. And it makes me wonder... They had a deal with Turtle Rock to do that, to go Game Pass day one with Back 4 Blood. It's entirely possible that in those negotiations, they were like, you know what? Take your time on Vermin or on Darktide so that we don't oversaturate the market with these four player, you know, first person, let's blow everything up shit games.
I'm definitely excited for that. That'd be a smart strategic move too.
Yeah.
I like Vermintide as well. I haven't spent nearly as much time with it as I have something like Left 4 Dead, but
yeah,
it's great. And it absolutely scratches that itch.
It's very, very good. So excited.
I think a lot of these, like you're talking about, you seem to have a big focus on like the four player, these smaller group things. Like you talk about Destiny and everything else. And it's just like, dude, I think this all comes back to Diablo.
Yeah.
Kind of anything else. Like Destiny feels kind of Diablo-y.
You know what? That's exactly right. That's the first game I ever played in my life. Diablo 1's the first game I ever played where I could run alongside somebody else and do some shit in a game. I think that was it.
Yeah. Like Diablo 3, I didn't get into Diablo 2. I didn't have like my own personal computer at the time. I had to like share time on the family computer.
Yeah.
I chose to spend it being mediocre at Counter-Strike. But Diablo 3 was a huge co-op experience for me. I've played countless hours of Diablo 3 alongside friends.
I mean, 3 really, you know, nailed it certainly for an online audience. Some of my favorite memories of all, I mean, one of my favorite video games of all time is Diablo 3. And so it would make sense that some of that co-op would stick with me, but
Back 4 Blood reminds me of it a little bit. Like with the added game systems they have of like, oh, you can actually find like gear, like you can find better guns or attachments or get more coin for the Counter-Strike as hell shop at the beginning of each level. It makes me want to go explore. Cause like an OG Left 4 Dead, I was like, Nope. The director's going to get mad at me if I spend more time here, but in Back 4 Blood, I'm like, oh yeah, but hold on. What's over in this corner? I might find something good. And it gives me that a little bit of that Diablo vibe where I'm like, okay, I realize I could beeline for the objective here, but I kind of want want to go check out this creepy corner over here.
Yeah, I do like that. The exploratory stuff is what makes Diablo one of my favorite things, because nothing's ever the same. It's all dynamically generated. And even though you're just going to kill more stuff in that corner, you still might find something cool. Like that, that stuff really wins for me. And I like when games do that. And Back 4 Blood, in my experience so far, has had some moments like that. Like, oh, look over here. No one's been here. And look at that box of ammo nobody knew about or whatever. Like, I like that discoverability. It strikes me that the future of multiplayer is probably these kinds of games. And by the way, I know we haven't talked about the Aliens game that came out like a month ago that everyone forgot about. It's supposed to be good. It's one of these. But it got so overshadowed for Back 4 Blood that despite it selling well, people are just not playing it right now. So it's hard to get matches. All that sort of thing. But that really appeals to me. So I am not going
to
shut
that thing
out. It
really appeals to me too. Although you're the first person I've heard say that it's supposed to be good. I haven't heard anything.
I mean, I haven't heard it's amazing, but I've heard it's like a functional one of these. So it may not be your best choice.
What a glowing review.
Yeah. I really put that on the box. Like it's just supposed to be okay. You know, like a good, fun 4-player, we're killing aliens deal. And
have
I'm into
gotten,
that.
Have you gotten to the parking garage, the basement of the parking garage in Back 4 Blood?
No, it sounds horrible. It sounds terrifying.
Okay, so there's a basement of a parking garage in Back 4 Blood, and let's just say it's organic now.
Oh Lord.
And it reminds me so much of tunnels in Aliens that nothing else made me think of Fireteam Elite than this, the playing Back 4 Blood and going into that. That level going, oh shit, this is disgusting. It looks like aliens. I go, oh right, an aliens one of these just came out and no one's playing it.
No one's playing it.
Yeah.
That bums me out. But anyway, I really do feel like maybe the future of this is, it's not going to be, let's see how many humans we can get on a map or a server. That's always fun to do, but it's, I think we've had enough time with these kinds of ideas. The dynamic fun you can create with 3 of your best friends, 6 of your best friends, smaller groups, I think is the future of some of this stuff. And I think that just comes down to like the idea of chatting and trying to coordinate with strangers, especially forget about coordinated groups of your friends, is not optimal and not fun often. Once in a while, sure, you'll make a friend, he'll be your friend for life. It's how you met him. It's great. Those are outliers in my experience. It's usually a nightmare. So
you don't want to go into all chat in League of Legends?
No.
You can't anymore, Scott.
No, yeah, that's true. You can't. But like, I just would say it's hard to be like, if it's me, you, Kyle and Bo, it's very hard for us to be toxic with each other because we all like each other. So why wouldn't you want to focus experiences, new gameplay and games on that aspect of your friendships? I think that's the right direction we're headed. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody isn't going to go, the next Battlefield will support 6,000 players on one map. We'll do those things too, and they'll be
sign
impressive.
Me up. Battlefield is goofy as hell when it gets to that scale.
I agree.
Like, let's go.
And the new one is what, like 120 or something per side or something like that.
Is that out yet?
No, but I want to play it. It looks
okay. Because what was it? E3. The E3 gameplay where like there was that tornado and junk going on, and they were like ziplining on a skyscraper. I was like, all right, I've never really given a crap about Battlefield. This game looks cool.
Yeah,
I want to give it up. I give it up for this trailer. That trailer looks amazing.
Yeah, it's I'm into what they're selling. But it's been a while for me too, so I'm a little hesitant. But it's one of the things I wish. EA Play being on Game Pass is great and all. I like it, but it's never their brand new day and date games. It's always stuff from last year or 6 months ago, and so it'll eventually get on there. All the other Battlefields are on there. But if you want to play 2042, whatever it's called, you got to play it. You got to buy it. And it's the kind of game where I'm not a giant fan, so I'm not going to just say, well, I'm not going to throw $70 at it. Like, I need to know more. So we're probably going to wait for some reviews. We'll see what happens, but seems interesting.
Yeah, no, I think co-op's important. There's a place for everything. We're always going to need our competitive environment as well. But I love co-op games.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand what is Sidian saying in the chat? I don't want to open that bottle. What is
I believe he's talking about what it's like talking to random strangers on the internet.
Oh, that. Yeah, yeah.
That was a great game. Would you like to hear some racial slurs?
It is a little like that.
Well, yeah, like, if only racists were so polite.
I did get to play. Oh, I played Chivalry 2 not long ago. I had a code for Xbox sent to me by the devs. Anyway, I'm playing it on there, and that game's crazy anyway, but there was, it's my first experience where I heard some young kid, probably 10 to a 12, prepubescent, you know, high voice boy, yelling at his mom and her yelling back about, you spent too much time on there, get off of that thing. But I'm just doing one more, mom. And like having it on and loud. You always hear about those. You see a YouTube video or someone's making fun of it or there's a TikTok or something. I've never actually run into one of those until like a week ago. Really enjoyed it.
Oh my God.
I really had a good time because I didn't have to say anything. I just had to listen.
I definitely ran into that like early years of Xbox Live, like 100%. Yeah. At this point, I assume none of it's legit. I think someone just pulls up the chocolate milk video and plays it over their microphone.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's the other problem. I feel like
they're just messing with us.
It's all
crap. Just trying to keep the tradition alive.
It's unfortunate that we are in a place now in gaming where the first thing you think of when you play Warzone or you play anything, you look for the button on screen that says mute all. You're just looking for it. And if they don't have it, you're going into the list of players and you're going mute, 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 mute. I mean, that is my number one first thing I do. I'm sad that that's what I do, but that's how it's proven out. That's how it's been. So,
yeah, I had more patience like when I was younger. Like I remember playing like Modern Warfare 2 and I made a lot of friends actually on Modern Warfare 2, like through it.
Yeah.
I would keep it open and I would mute as necessary.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so I ended up talking to people and making friends, and hell, I had a weird experience of even making a friend on like Guitar Hero. I used to be really a Guitar Hero, and I would actually go and challenge people online.
Yeah,
yeah, and I made a friend over that one time. But
I mean, it can still happen
nowadays.
Yeah, it may happen. It may even happen today. Someone made the best friend they've ever had in their life in New World yesterday somewhere. So I don't know who it is, but they did, and that's great. But y'all are outliers, man. Take your real friends in and get real gaming going. All right. If you guys have any thoughts or feelings about this topic and would like to write in, we'd love to hear it. theinstance@gmail.com. Like this email that I got right here that I'm going to read after I hit this button right here.
Hello there.
Hey, look what it is. An email from No Name. It just says No Name on their email. Hey, Instance Crew, just listen to the narrative episode. That makes it sound like we did a story 1 week, doesn't it? The narrative episode.
The narrative episode.
Garrett walked in the room. Garrett wasn't wearing any pants. Scott was taken aback. It's going places I don't want to go.
I might not be wearing any pants. The Blink song you sampled is not Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, but they have an album named that.
There's no co-op here. Anyway, hey, Instance Crew, just listen to the narrative episode. One thing I think is worth mentioning is that Destiny 2 in the Beyond Light year has really mixed the MMO / game as a service and narrative pieces really well, especially for a game that has struggled to tell a story narratively in the past. It's clear Bungie is trying to have a new story arc that literally changes the soul system. Each season they get the benefit of telling tightly knit story, but the players also see the world changing in real time around them. I hope it's a direction other games adopt and that they, Bungie, continue it. Signed, No Name. I haven't really checked out the story bits lately, not this new expansion anyway. It's all in Game Pass. There's no reason not to, but I like that, especially given the history of that game. When I first fired up Destiny 1 or 2, both games tried to tell me a story, and I don't know what the F they were trying to say. Still, to this day, I don't know what's going on. There's a little box following me around. He sounds like Tyrion Lannister.
They changed him, man. They got Dinklebot out of there, and they put, what's his name?
Nathan Drake.
Nathan Fillion's another character in Destiny.
Yeah, there you go. Boy, that movie trailer, that looked generic, didn't it?
Boy, yeah.
I don't know what to say about it. I don't
Kyle
know what to think.
And I, really we did a me bonus up. for the End of the Nexus patrons because we hadn't seen it. And so we stuck around after the show last night and we watched it and did like a live reacts. And I got to say, I've never seen such clean shirts in an Uncharted adventure.
They look like
an H&M model was going on in Indiana Jones.
They look like cosplay to me. It doesn't.
There were no vistas in that entire trailer.
No. No, I got I'm concerned.
There was a whole lot of like bars, and tuxedos.
Yeah, it's weird.
It looked more like a forgettable James Bond movie than it did an Uncharted film.
I hope I'm wrong, but I just have a bad feeling about it.
I have a bad feeling about anything that casts Mark Wahlberg.
I don't. That depends. The what's that movie? What's the Scorsese movie he was amazing in?
Oh yeah, it's just because it's our Scorsese movie, and actually he was still the worst thing in it.
Wait, you talking about
The Departed?
Hold yes, Departed. In a, yeah.
Let's talk about a movie that has Leonardo DiCaprio, yeah. Jack Nicholson,
yeah.
Matt Damon, and Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch doing what I sound like when I try to do a Boston accent.
I don't think it was that bad, but I'm with you that he's maybe the least important of the cast.
There's more subtle Boston accents in Family Guy.
Hashtag not my Sully. Please tell me that's a thing that's trending. That's amazing. Because he's
I'll take any chance I get to dump on Mark Wahlberg. I have no idea how that dude got.
I don't know why he's Sully. Yeah, it's bad pick, but. But anyway, I have such adoration for those games that I hold some concern. I'll wait and see. I'm not yes, one of those
I
people.
Yes, I do too. Yeah, I think it's a bold decision to start with young Drake.
Yeah.
Hey, if it works, if it's a hit, then it pays off because then cool, we've got both of these actors until they're the age they should be.
Yeah, I was gonna say if it becomes a franchise, you'll get Wahlberg at proper Sully age at one point. He probably is proper Sully age. He just doesn't look like it. Now that I think about it, that guy's 50-something, 55, 50.
Sully's got to be in his 60s.
Right?
In the Uncharted games, right? Yeah. I mean, he's an old man.
That's what I picture, like, yeah. That's what I picture.
I realize we're all looking amazing as we get older now compared to old.
Oh, yeah, dude. People in those, like, Civil War era, you're like, oh, look at that general all scrubbied up with his weird long gray beard. And it's like, when did he die? Oh, he was 23 on the battlefield. What? How was that guy 23 in that photo? You got to be kidding me. Yeah,
well, Jason Alexander was what, like mid-30s on Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Like, look at him. I'm in my mid-30s now. Well, granted, I still have my hair, and that's a big thing. But if you lose your hair in your mid-30s now, you shave it. You grow a beard. You found a beer. you start brewing beer.
Yeah.
And you look great and awesome. Like, you look like Kratos, okay? Yeah, like, no one's keeping their, like, donut on top of their head anymore because we figured out how to style ourselves.
That's
more
right.
Modern fashion.
That's funny you brought up Kratos because the PC version of God of War, which got announced a couple days ago, it's a big deal, by the way, that's happening. Kratos is arguably Sony's Mario. Like, he's like the biggest name they've got, and he's coming to PC. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is that seems like a game that, when they first started advertising it, I thought, well, this will be co-op. It'll be the dad and the son. Someone, you'll play the son optionally. And if you're not there, then they just AI the son. But you could have you playing Kratos, and then somebody else could play the kid, and then there's your game. They didn't do that, but that's what I thought when I first saw it. Just to bring it back to the co-op, you know? That's what I'm doing here.
That'd be an interesting co-op game.
Yeah, it'd be all right.
I don't know how that would work out.
I he always should when he says, boy, he should go, dad! He never did. Never did.
Just go, man.
Man. Oh, yeah, man. That's right. Man, what do you want, man? It's true rebellion. All right. Anyway, thank you for the email, no name. And that's what your email said. I apologize if you meant to have your name read, but that's all it came back with was just no name in gray text.
We got horrendously sidetracked there, too.
Yeah, we did. But yeah. Destiny 2, still a thing. Still a growing concern, and people loving it who love it, and people who haven't tried it probably
Destiny, so I dipped my toe into Final Fantasy this week.
Oh, what?
And I think Destiny and Final Fantasy have both kind of figured out the same thing, which is, like, if you're going to tell this story and you're going to try and make the player character important, you go whole hog.
Yeah.
You make the player character really freaking important.
Yeah.
Like, you focus everything around them.
How, like, do you feel so far? Like, you were so opposed to trying that game or to playing that game. How's it going?
I'm still feeling it out. I'm not going to lie, though. I did have a good time with it. Like, I'm still feeling it out. I'm still not sold. I'm still not, like, completely bought into, like, the world the way I am at something like World of Warcraft. Like, that's just a world I love.
Yeah.
And I like being in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, making it into my first big city and seeing a bunch of adorable little weeboo-ass pets running around. And, okay, like, yeah, damn it, this is charming. Yeah. This is really charming.
It's got its hooks, man. No doubt about it. I didn't think we'd ever get here. I didn't think we'd get to a time.
I need to spend more time with it. I need to have some time playing with friends before I can really kind of.
Kyle was in there for a while. Is he still playing?
He is. Yeah, I believe he just finished I believe it's referred to as the 2.0 questline. I am still learning my terminology.
Oh yeah, right.
So you finished an original main questline.
The Realm Reborn. The Realm Reborn questline probably is what he's finished.
I believe that is. I believe that is what it is. So I'm only like level 10.
Okay.
I had a good time. I can't. It's inescapable. Fine. I'll go try it. I'm on Kyle's server. Let's see how it goes.
Everybody in our circles are playing it. It's hard to avoid this. You know,
listen, I avoided Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And then you loved it. Yep. Yep.
I avoided World of Warcraft. I was like, I remember being when World of Warcraft, I'm like paying for a game. And I realized EverQuest did this before, but only the real nerds played EverQuest.
What Garrett's saying is he'll initially oppose something, but you can talk him into it is what he's saying. That's what you're
And if at. It's good, I am happy to change my opinion.
Sure.
I really am.
I am too.
Final Fantasy doesn't inherently grab me.
Unless your game has tower defense mechanics, forget it. All bets are off. I hate them. But other than that, there's a hot new game that's out on Game Pass and on PC and consoles, and I forgot the name of it. Crap. But anyway, it's a mech. It looked like Diablo mech. I was super into it. The idea, I couldn't wait for it to come out. Graphics are amazing. And then I played it and I realized, this is all about building a base and then defending it from waves of enemies. No, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. Riftbreaker, that's it. I don't want to play that. I tried it. I did. I got it. I gave up.
In any game that has it, and honestly, I think Left 4 Dead and Back 4 Blood are tower defense light. Like if you know there's a horde trigger and you got to like set up before you trigger it.
That's true. I won't, because I don't have the same blanket hatred of horde mode per se. Like games that throw a bunch of enemies at me, I've set up a tower. We got a wave done. Now I'm going to augment the tower so it can get better.
So it's the non-interactivity.
Like I wanted to love Halo's, was it ODST or something had a cool mode called, I forgot the name. Anyway, it was basically Horde.
Yes. Yeah. ODST had it. Was it ODST or was it?
I might be thinking of Gears of War because it had
Reach.
Fire Team.
Gears
yeah,
of War
that's
had
it.
Horde mode. Halo, yeah, Fire Team.
Fire
Halo
Team. Yeah, Fire I thought Fire Team was cool, but it was the in betweeny stuff. Like Orcs Must Die 1, 2, and 3 are by all accounts my kind of games until I gotta go set shit up. I hate that. I hate it. I just want to shoot orcs. I just want to get to it. So like that's why I think Back 4 Blood and those kinds of games are fine for me because there's no like phase, you know, there's like player made phasing sort of like where you're like, well, I hurry up and do this because we have a second before we set off these birds or whatever. So I get that, but I just don't like the whole, I don't have enough wood to make a new, like, I don't want to do that. I hate that.
A new hair. Gotcha. Cool. Good to know.
It's also why
I too get so mad when I don't have enough wood to build my hoo-hoo.
I also don't like, that's why I don't like, I don't like, you know, Fortnite much anyway, but the Fortnite build thing that they just kept in there because they're...
Oh, ignore it. Ignore dicks. The building.
I hate it. But you can't. There's no point. The people that win build. They build all sorts of shit so that they don't die. And I
it's
hate it.
Because they're better than you, Scott, and they're better than me.
I hate it so much. All right. Well, that's it for your emails and for the show today. Reminder, theinstance@gmail.com is where to send that thing. We would love it if you did. So keep those coming, theinstance@gmail.com. Also, a quick reminder, you can support the show at theinstance.net. Now, we're in the middle of transition over to Patreon, and that's taken a little bit of time. However, I think next Friday is the day, I think. You know what I'm going to do? Let's make it official.
Did you just say it's going to take some time and next Friday is the day? Dear listeners, I'm learning of this at the same time as you.
So is you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say this a little different. We're going to launch it on the first show in November, just to give us a little pad here. So first show in November, that'll be the day that we flip over. And I just want to make sure we're all prepped to do it and that existing supporters aren't super confused and all effed up on their end. I want to make this easy for everybody. So that's what we're going to do. For now, you can still sign up and make yourself known over there at theinstance.net. And we'll keep you informed if anything changes. But I think that should be our plan. And again, Garrett is learning of this as we speak. co-host stuff.
News to me.
I always like to throw it around, see what else is going on. So, Mr. Hearthstone Mercenaries, what are you doing this week?
I kind of bounced off of Hearthstone Mercenaries.
I did too. I'm done.
I'm back to Battlegrounds. I love that mode. I love Battlegrounds so very, very
much. Battlegrounds is great. It's a legit mode. It's amazing. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you want, I kind of detail like my sort of kind of getting bored with mercenaries on the latest Angry Chicken. Ridiculous hat, however, still loving it and is crazy. And so Joss also missed Angry Chicken this week. But if you want to go listen to someone that's still like all in on mercenaries and someone that kind of already got burnt out, that's the latest Angry Chicken episode for you. I think it's a really good kind of balanced look from two very different perspectives at the state of this new mode in Hearthstone.
Very nice.
And other than that, the thing that was the final piece of rice or the straw that broke my Final Fantasy back.
The final piece of rice.
The final. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking of, what is it? Mulan, a single grain of rice can tip the scale.
Oh, let's get down to business. No, go ahead. Sorry.
To defeat
the Huns.
The Huns. You can't do this. You can't do Mark Hoppus. Hello there. You can't start. You can't bring up. Yeah.
You got to do the whole song. I feel you.
Anyways. Yeah, the part that finally made me cave and I'm like, all right, let me go give Final Fantasy an honest try, was on Nexus Gaming News this week. This is my new show with Kyle Ferguson where we cover one major gaming headline of the week. We took a look at the crazy amount of interviews that Yoshi P, the lead developer on Final Fantasy 14, went and did.
Oh, that guy, yeah. It's insane.
Did 32 interviews under embargo. Released them all on the same day. Nothing leaked.
Amazing stuff, too, came out of that.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I don't know. Anyway, we talked about that. So if you want to learn about that, go listen to Nexus Gaming News. That's the latest episode. And I watched enough of these darn interviews that I was like, oh, it sounds like this guy makes a cool damn game.
Yeah.
Sounds like this guy makes a really good MMO. Yeah. I kind of want to. Maybe I need some more hours with it.
His interviews are pretty epic, and it's really unique and different and just such a fresh breath of air. Honestly, I think it's that
he talks about so many other games.
It's that philosophy and their rebirthing of that game under such crazy circumstances when it first launched and all of that and its success today. That's what Blizzard's up against, in my opinion. It's a philosophy and an overall flushing of what you are and what you think and a different way of thinking about MMOs. And that's what that dude's doing. It's a really interesting guy. People should seek that stuff out. Awesome. Go check it out. Nexus Gaming News, amove.tv. For more, a reminder that this is just one of a triumvirate of gaming shows here on the Frog Pants Network that I'm involved with. We hit the big issues and topics here, but if you want like big industry news, general gaming show, that sort of thing, check out Core on Thursday nights. We just put one up last night. That's Core over at frogpants.com/core. Or if indies are more your jam, on Mondays I do a show with Brian Dunaway called The Boop Show, which is all about small games, little games, small teams making cool stuff. That latest game Inscription from Devolver Digital is one of the baddest ass, coolest ass things I've ever seen. You got to check that game out. If you like deck builders at all, if you're even remotely interested in something like Slay the Spire and you want to see somebody flip all that shit on its head and do it in a way that just is the craziest damn thing you've ever seen, Inscription. Amazing. It's on Steam. Anyway, we talk about games like that and focus on that. So if you want to know more about these shows, this one included, there's a whole URL just for you. Frogpantsplays.com. That's frogpantsplays.com for more info. All right. I think that's going to do it. Should have Jocelyn back with us next week. Another big topic to tackle between now and then. I hope you all have a fantastic time and we'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.